Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want you to think about the most difficult person in your life. Hopefully, it's not your mom, okay? Think of the most difficult person in your life or the most pressing problem that you're facing, the most overwhelming circumstance you're dealing with, okay? I want you to think about that. Now, on your message notes, on the back of your bulletin, there is a circle up at the top, all right? There's a circle right here. I want you to write that person or that circumstance in that circle. Maybe some of you have several different things that you're dealing with. Go ahead and write down as many as you like. Maybe your kids aren't serving God, or maybe they really aren't passionate for Jesus. They're just kind of nominal. They're not going after the Lord and spiritual things the way you would like them to. Maybe you'd put that down. Some of you, maybe you hate your job. You can't stand it. It's not fulfilling. And or maybe there's a person at your job that just makes life miserable. So you know, put that down. Maybe for some of you, you would say, I've got a strained marriage. My marriage is not going very well right now. Or maybe some of you are struggling with your singleness. You're wondering why God hasn't sent you a special someone. Some of our students, maybe you've got difficulties at schools. Maybe you're struggling with grades. There's a subject that you just don't get, and you've got a month left to turn it around, and you just don't know how it's going to happen. Or maybe you're being bullied, you're being picked on, and that's the thing that you would put in your circle today. Others of us, maybe we'd put down, we have financial struggles, or we have physical problems. There's something physical going on in life, an injury or a disease, and we're having problems just dealing and coping with that. Still others might say, I have no vision for my life. I don't know what God wants me to do. I just kind of feel at a loss for where I'm supposed to go. What is God's plan for my life? Maybe that's your issue. Some of us deal with issues that nobody else sees. We're struggling with a secret addiction. Maybe alcoholism or pornography or something else. Maybe it's an eating disorder. Some of us maybe are dealing with mental problems, depression, discouragement. We're always anxious. What are those things that are overwhelming you, that are stressing you out? Go ahead and write them in that circle this morning, all right? We're going to be looking at these things over the next several weeks as we begin a new series this morning that we're calling Armor. It's going to be a multi-week study on the armor of God. We're going to be doing a deep dive in Ephesians chapter 6. And so you can turn there this morning. We're going to look at a few scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6. But we're really going to be studying this. And a lot of this, a lot of these points and thoughts, some of them are coming from a study by Priscilla Schreier, her study called The Armor of God. It's a great resource if you'd like to tap into that and even kind of take it deeper. Before we get going in today's message, I want to welcome everybody, especially our online guests. We want to thank you for coming today, with us online. Thanks for being here. Also, our first-time guests, whether you're online or here in the building, I'm glad that you're here today. And as we talk about a topic that maybe a lot of us are unfamiliar with, it's spiritual warfare. Maybe that's kind of a new concept to you, especially if this is your first time at church. So some things might seem a little different, a little weird, but I hope you'll stick with us the next few weeks to realize that there is an unseen battle taking place in the world around us. There is an unseen battle taking place in the world around us, and a lot of times we don't realize that. And my prayer is that each of us, as we come through this series, God will begin to take us to new levels deeper and new levels higher to wage spiritual warfare, because we are in a fight that many times we don't realize. The things that you wrote in the circle above, how many wrote at least one thing in that circle? Okay, many of you did. That issue, maybe you wake up in the morning and it's the first thing on your mind, or you go to bed at night and it's the last thing on your mind. You have a hard time getting to sleep because that thing is just rolling over and over in your life. That issue, that problem, is not your real problem. Now, some of you might be saying, wait a second, Craig. What do you mean it's not my real problem? That is not your real issue. In your notes this morning, look at point number one. Your problems above are not your real enemy. Your problems above are not your real enemy. It's not your boss. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not any person. It's not your physical condition. It's not your financial condition. It's not your mental or emotional state. Those physical things are not your real problem. The most troubling things in your life, the things that you sense with your five senses, are not the real issues, all right? Your real problems, even though you're wrestling with them emotionally and verbally and physically, the real issue is a spiritual enemy. That's what the Apostle Paul teaches us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Your real enemy is the devil. Now, I know some people don't believe there is a devil, but Paul talks about the devil. Peter talks about the devil. Jesus talked about the devil. The devil is real. He's not fictional. He's not imaginary. He's not something you just see on the silver screen from Hollywood. The devil is a real entity. He's alive, and unfortunately, he's well. And he is your enemy. You maybe don't realize it, but the devil is your enemy this morning. He is the real problem. Yes, those physical things in your life are serious, but the devil is working underneath those things in the background, trying to bring about his plans and his purposes. We have a real fight. In fact, Paul, many times we think of Ephesians chapter 6 as kind of the warfare chapter, but all throughout Ephesians, Paul is telling the Ephesian believers, you have a real enemy. We've got the references listed there on your notes. I encourage you to read them. If you're watching online, those references are Ephesians 1, 20 to 22, chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 10, and then here, chapter 6, verse 12. And Paul says, we wrestle not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That word wrestle, some translations say struggle, is a word, pele in the Greek, and it denotes a constant fight between opponents, waged in close hand-to-hand combat with the goal of pinning down and defeating one's rival. And friends, that's what the devil wants to do to us. He wants to pin us down and defeat us. How many of you have ever wrestled before? A few of you have. I spent 1 year wrestling, hated it, I quit. I says, that's it, I'm done wrestling, okay? Why? Because I had never wrestled before, and all the other kids in the wrestling league I was in had wrestled, and I got beat almost all the time. I got pinned almost every time. It's no fun getting pinned. It's no fun getting your tail whipped. I became a pumpkin pounder, okay? I played basketball. No way am I doing this wrestling thing. And friends, some of you feel like the devil is wrestling against you, and time after time after time, he's pinning you, he's defeating you. But friends, that's not how it has to be. We have a real enemy, and we've got to be aware of that. As long as we ignore the devil and his attacks against us, he can run roughshod in our lives. So we need to realize we have a real enemy. Even though you've got those problems listed and they're serious and they are real, they're not the real problem. Your primary nemesis is the devil. All right, now that brings us to point number two today. A spiritual enemy requires a spiritual remedy. If you're fighting a spiritual opponent, you need a spiritual solution. What is that solution? It's prayer. Prayer is your weapon. Prayer is the weapon that we wage warfare. We sang about it this morning. I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I'm going to praise. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to lift my need up to Him. Prayer is the way we fight our spiritual enemy. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, after he's talked about, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the powers, these hierarchy of demons that are under the devil. After that, he goes into the pieces of the armor. What many people don't realize is that there are actually seven pieces of armor. A lot of times we think there are six, but there are seven. The seventh one is prayer. Take a look at verse 18. A lot of times when people look at the armor of God, they stop in verse 17, but look at verse 18. It says, with every prayer and petition. Paul comes right out of the armor, and actually he's not coming out of it. He's including prayer as part of the armor. And we're talking about prayer right up front instead of at the end, because the way we put on the rest of the pieces of the armor, the way we deal with our problems that you've put in the circle, is through prayer. Have you prayed about those problems? I want you to think about it. So many times we'll take the simple things to God, the things that are easy, but those things that are really bogging us down and miring us, and they fill our thoughts, we're trying to handle them on our own, and we're not taking them to God in prayer. We need to be people of prayer. And Paul says, with every prayer and petition. Now, the word prayer there is more a general word for prayer that speaks of having an attitude of prayer. That as we go throughout our day, we have this constant communion, this connection with God. And so it's an attitude of prayer, but then the word petition, that is a word that comes from a term that relates to specific times of need. When you have a special need, physical, emotional, something happens in the day, you get a phone call about someone's in trouble, your kids are having a difficulty at school, there's a problem at work, there's maybe they're doing layoffs or they're cutting back salary or something like that, cutting back hours. That's what petition is. A situation happens and I meet it with prayer. I'm walking through life with an attitude of prayer, and when a circumstance hits me in the face, the first thing I do is I pray about it. I don't worry about it. I don't think of how can I solve it, who can I call, what can I do. The first person I call on is God. And I talk to God about it before I talk to someone else about it. And I say, God, I want you to do something before I start to try to figure out what to do. Paul says, with every prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at every occasion. There is nothing too big, and there's nothing too small for God to handle. There's nothing too big. We need to pray at all times. And he says, pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? I think there's kind of two connotations to that. One is we need to let the Holy Spirit guide us. We need to say, Holy Spirit, how do I need to pray about this circumstance? I don't know about you, but one of the things I need to constantly develop in my prayer life is a listening ear to God. Because so many times when I come to prayer, I've got my thoughts about what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. And God, you need to do this. But is that what God wants? And I need to just to be quiet and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me how to pray. Show me what to say. And there's so many times when I do that, there's different thoughts, there's different perspective, different angles that I haven't even considered. And he gives them to me, and then I can pray for those. So that is one way that we pray in the Spirit, is asking the Holy Spirit for guidance in how to pray. Teach me what to pray. But then secondly, is to pray in our prayer language. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we talked about last week as we wrapped up the Feast of Israel, as you pray with that supernatural language that you've been given, the Holy Spirit prays through us. And so you can take a prayer focus, whether it's your kids, your job, your health, someone else's needs, and you can be thinking about that, but then just pray in tongues and let the Holy Spirit pray for that circumstance. I believe both of those connotations are wrapped up in that phrase, praying in the Spirit. Paul goes on to say, to this end, be alert with all perseverance. How much perseverance? All. That means you don't quit. You don't stop wrestling. Even if you feel like you're going to be pinned, even if your back is on the ground and you're trying to keep that shoulder up so you don't go down, you don't quit. When I was wrestling, one of my opponents was the neighbor kid across the street. His name was Randy. Randy was a jerk, okay? He was a year older than I was, and he thought he was hot stuff, all right? And I didn't like Randy, and so in this wrestling tournament, I had to wrestle Randy. Randy was bigger than me. Randy was always intimidating. And I start wrestling Randy, and at first, you know, I thought I was going to get beat, and we start wrestling, and Randy kind of thinks he's going to whip me, but I don't know if it was God or what, but I stayed with him through the first period. In fact, I kept staying with him, and we got to the second period, and I got Randy down, and I almost had him. He's down on his back, and he's almost pinned. If I had one more second, I would have won. We go to the third round, and we're wrestling. I mean, it's tight, it's close, and we're going back and forth, and I am so dry. I am so dry. I am so tired, but my mouth is dry, and Randy gets me. I'm on my back, and if I can just keep going, if I can just keep going, you know what I did? I quit, and he pinned me. If I would have persevered, what would have happened? Would have I beat him? I don't know. We will never know because I quit. And if you quit, you'll never know. Actually, you'll know you'll never win. Because here's the thing. When we wrestle against the devil, God gives us the power to overcome him. We have the victory if we don't quit. We don't have to wonder, well, will the points weigh out and I'll win if I don't quit? No, you win. There's no uncertainty when you're wrestling with God against your real enemy. We need to be people who are praying at all times with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray for other people. Paul goes on and he says, hey, pray for me. And he says that a door will be open, that I can speak, that I'll minister the way God wants me to minister. We need to be praying for our leaders, your pastor, our government leaders, our civic leaders. We need to be praying for the saints in the church. We need to be praying for our families. Pray for your spouse. Maybe your spouse ticks you off. Well, are you praying for them? If your kids are ticking you off, do you pray for them? If your boss or your coworkers are ticking you off, do you pray for them? We need to pray for all people. Praying for all people is so important that as Paul's writing this letter to the Ephesians, there's a couple of times he just breaks out into prayer and he prays for them right in his letter, and he writes down the prayer that came to mind. In fact, I want you to write these two references down. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19, okay? I want you to read that today. That's one of the prayers that just popped up on Paul's radar screen as he's writing this letter. Ephesians 3, 14 and 19. The other one is Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. Write that one down. I want to read it to you this morning because it is a powerful prayer. This is what Paul said. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, what three things did Paul pray for? What are the three things he prayed for? We capitalize them so you can see what they are. He prayed for hope. He prayed for the riches of God's inheritance and for power. Those were the three things Paul prayed for. But notice, Paul did not say, I pray that you receive them. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart are enlightened. I pray God opens your eyes. You already have them. You have hope. You have an inheritance. You have power. It's not maybe, it's you have it. I'm praying God opens your eyes. You realize I possess this. I have to stand in these blessings and authority of God against my enemy. You see, there is so much we have, we just don't realize it's ours, and so we're not taking the authority in Christ and standing against the attacks of the devil. Paul prayed for them to have an understanding mind, that their eyes would be open. He goes on to say, that power, that incomparable power, is the same as the mighty strength God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. What is he saying? Jesus is seated above everyone and everything. No principality, no power is more powerful than God. We have an almighty, all-powerful God. We are not the losers. In Christ, we are the winners. Jesus is seated above the devil. You're in a fight this morning, and the only way you can win this spiritual fight is to become a person of prayer. That's the only way we can win. We need to pray. Priscilla Shire says, victory and spiritual warfare is inseparable from prayer. We've become a culture relatively unaware of the enemy's presence, unaware of his conspiracies to destroy our lives, unaware that he's distracting us from reaching our destinies. We need to be aware of how Satan is trying to undermine God's work in our lives. Spiritual warfare is both active and passive. Take a look in your notes. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong is passive. All right? Be strong as passive. God gives us the strength. It's there. It's ours. That's the passive part, but it's also active because look at verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the full armor. That's active. You see, the strength is there, but if we don't put it on, we don't have any protection. We don't have any power. And so there is a part that God plays, but we need to cooperate with him. If we are not planting the seed in our life, as the word came forward this morning, if we're not investing in our lives spiritually, we're not going to have an abundant harvest of hope, of inheritance, and of power. We have got to be people that are planting. It takes both of us. God and us. How many have heard the old saying, God helps those who help themselves? Yeah, I remember hearing that. My mom said it growing up. Really, that's not right. In your notes, God helps those who engage God. God helps those who engage God. Those people that pray, that are in their word, that are walking through the day with all prayer and petition. They've got this attitude of prayer, this attitude of communion with him. And when a specific circumstance comes up, I give that petition for that direct need. God helps those who engage God. We need to pray and we need to get involved. There's two directions for our spiritual warfare, all right? In your notes, the first direction is outward, and that deals with what we're doing. It deals with building the kingdom of God, kingdom advancing endeavors, building the church of Jesus, partnering with the Holy Spirit to build up the body of Christ. What is our theme for 2021? Help me here. What's the theme? Influence your radius, all right? That's what this is all about. The first direction, God, help me influence my radius at church, at school, in the neighborhood, at work, in my family, everywhere I go. Help me to influence my radius. Help me to make a difference. Help me to win people to Jesus. It's using my ministry gifts in the church, those motivational gifts. For some of us, it's serving. For some of us, it's hospitality. For some of us, it's teaching. For some of us, it's encouragement. We're using our gifts in different ministries, children's, youth, the worship team, the media team, as a greeter, leading a small group, being a youth sponsor. We are using our gifts. It's also using the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, where maybe God gives us a word of wisdom for someone or a word of knowledge. Or we pray for a sick person, a miracle takes place, a gift of healing. Or maybe in a church service, there God gives us a message in tongues, an interpretation, or he gives us a prophecy. We are using those gifts of the Spirit. We build the kingdom of God as we invite people to church, as we pray for them, as we maybe in some circumstances even share our testimony or share the gospel as God opens a door. We're praying for God to do that. These kingdom-building endeavors need to be part of our prayer life. God, help me influence my radius. Help me to encourage the saints. Help me to draw the lost, the not-yet Christian, closer to you. An outward focus of spiritual warfare. It's not just, God, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me a raise. It's building the kingdom of God. That is a key piece of spiritual warfare. A second direction that spiritual warfare goes. It's not just outward, but it's inward. Spiritual warfare is an inward focus that centers on who we are becoming. It focuses on our character. Who am I as a person? We did our series at the beginning of the year. We talked about what does radius mean? We are radius. One of them is influence our radius, those relationships around us. But the other is that we center every point of our life on Jesus Christ. We center our relationships, our attitudes, the stewardship of our resources, our time, talent, everything. We focus, we center it on Jesus. Who are we becoming? Is the fruit of the Spirit growing in my life? Am I loving and more patient and more kind instead of blowing up at people or at circumstances when things don't go my way? Am I good to my family? Am I good to people at work or at school? Am I forgiving? Am I humble? Not self-aggrandizing myself, boasting myself, puffing myself up, and also not degrading myself, saying, I'm so horrible, I'm so bad. That's what humility is. It's a proper view of who you are in Christ Jesus. Am I joyful and peaceful and self-controlled when problems arise? Or do I panic? Do I fret? Do I fume? Or do I sulk? Do I have faithfulness in me? Am I reliable and responsible? People can depend on me. Am I honest and trustworthy? I keep my promises. I'm a person of integrity and not of deception. You see, God is more concerned with who we are becoming than what we are doing. Because you can do great things for God. You can cast out demons in His name. You can heal the sick, but He can still say, depart from me, I never knew you. Your character can cut short your ministry. When you take shortcuts in character, it cuts short your ministry. So we need to be praying an inward focus. Lord, help more of the fruit of the Spirit to be in my life. Help me to be more conformed to the image of Jesus. What Jesus is like, that's what I would be like. Sometimes people only engage in one direction. They focus on being good and holy and that, but they really don't take time to build the kingdom of God. Sometimes people build the kingdom of God, but they're shysters. Maybe they're doing it for ulterior motives, or that's how they get their self-worth, or whatever it might be. We need both an outward focus and an inward focus as we pray. And the reason for that is because Satan is trying to destroy us. In your notes this morning, maybe Satan cannot destroy you, but he can make your time on earth futile and unproductive. If the devil can't trip you up and destroy you, then he will try to make you unproductive and do nothing for the kingdom. That's why we need both of these, because if you don't address your character, it will destroy you. But if you don't address the kingdom, You're going to be futile. You're going to be unproductive. And when you stand before him, he's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because we haven't maximized the blessings and the resources he's given us. So we need these two focuses. And what's interesting is these two prayer focuses are the main two ways the devil attacks us. In your notes, there's two questions to ask to detect the enemy's attacks on you. We need to be aware of how the enemy attacks us because he has a personalized strategy for each and every one of us. Why? Because each and every one of us are different. So, what's the first question? Ask yourself, in what ways do I pose the biggest threat to the enemy and his purposes? Ask yourself, in what ways do you pose the biggest threat to him and his purposes? If you're particularly vocal about your faith, he may agitate fear or insecurity in you, so you'll keep your mouth shut. Or maybe you're committed to sexual purity, so he will try to throw up false promises to you to encourage you to compromise in that area of your life. Priscilla Shire, she shares when she joined the team of The War Room. How many are familiar with the movie The War Room? It's a movie about prayer. Many of you have seen it. She shares that when she came on board, the director sent her an email saying, "We have had spiritual attacks on all of our movies. The theme of this movie is on calling the body of Christ among the nations to their knees in strategic prayer. The devil's not happy about that. Now that you're joining the team, don't be surprised if the enemy drops unusual family, relational, or health problems in your life. Don't worry, just prepare. God is greater than anything the enemy attempts." One of the main themes in the movie is family unity. It's a strong marriage, being faithful. And she shares how that summer of on-site filming, she said their family had more fights, more emotional blow-ups, more just problems and distractions. She says, "I knew that I needed to be aware of it, but I still wasn't prepared." And so as you are doing different things for the kingdom of God, be on the lookout how he wants to attack you and your family. I know when I preach on marriage, I need to be ready for an attack on my marriage. I mean, it's invariably, I preached earlier this year, and we talked about influencer radius, we talked about your family, it just seemed like it was easier for me to get upset with my wife and vice versa. Now, it's easy to get upset with me, I get that, but her, no, you know. But the devil just tries to do that. He works overtime when you're focusing on an area of his kingdom. When we do times of leading the church in prayer and fasting, a lot of times at the beginning of the year we do that, I just know, and I told our staff, Pastor Zach and Pastor Daniel, be ready for all Hades to break loose. Something to happen physically or financially, something in your own life, just internally, because that's how the enemy operates. When we call the body of Christ to wage warfare on that, the thing Satan wants to do is hit us and discourage us so we stop praying. And so as you are going about your things for the kingdom, now some people say, "Well, man, Craig, why even do anything for God then? Maybe I just need to sit back in my lounge chair and sip lemonade and take it easy." You see, the devil wants to do that because if he can't destroy you, he wants to make you futile and unproductive. God has so much for us. So much he wants us to accomplish. So be aware, ask yourself, what are the areas you pose the biggest threat to the enemy and his purposes? That's the first thing to look at in spiritual attacks. The second thing is ask yourself, what are my flesh's tendencies, innate passions, and weaknesses? That ties into your character, who you're becoming. What are your tendencies, innate passions, and weaknesses? Every person has tendencies, a particular bent towards tastes and interests, passions and curiosities. Some of these are good, some of these are bad. Those predispositions and weaknesses are the ones the enemy will seek to exploit. Whether they come from your upbringing, your inborn personality or vulnerabilities created by events in your life, these appetites of yours influence how Satan targets you. And when you combine these predispositions and weaknesses with his knowledge of just the right time to tease them out, you can be aware of how he may be planning to attack you at your most susceptible moments. I've shared with you before that my personality is intense. I'm charged hell with the water pistol. I like to accomplish things, do things. I'm driven. And because of that, I have a tendency to derive my self-worth from what I accomplish, from what I do. Instead of just because I'm a child of God, because I'm God's beloved son, there's nothing I can do to make God love me more. But that is a tendency that I always have to be on alert. Also because of that, I have to be aware of workaholic tendencies, that I don't take so much time working, doing ministry, that I am neglecting time with my wife and my kids and even time in prayer, because when my schedule ramps up, you know what's one of the first things? I don't have time to pray. I need to be working. I don't have time to spend with my family. I need to be doing something. And so taking time at night to work on stuff. But here's a chain reaction. Here's something else, is that when I get overloaded in my schedule and really busy, you know how I unwind and de-stress? By watching television. And as I've evaluated and looked at my life, I realized that when I was young growing up, the TV was always on in our home just for background noise. It was always on. From time in the morning to the time we met at night, the TV was always on. And I became an addict to television. I'm a television addict. I am. I have to be on guard against that so that when I'm stressed and overwhelmed, I don't just come home, sit down in front of the TV, turn it on, and zone out for the evening and not engaging my wife and my kids. I've had to be aware of that my whole life. And here's another thing. Now with our smartphones where they've got the streaming apps, Hulu and, you know, Netflix, you can watch TV or a movie anytime, any place, anywhere. Sitting at the store while you're waiting for your spouse, you can just turn it on when you come home. And you know what I found? Having those apps on my phone, it was monopolizing my life. Several months ago, I took all the apps on my phone. I have no games, no movie apps, no TV apps. Why? Because I am aware of my tendencies and what the devil wants to do, how he wants to trip me up, and I want to protect myself. No, I'm not saying you have to do that. What I'm saying is, what are your tendencies? What are your passions? What are your weaknesses? If you haven't taken time to identify those, if you're listening to me today online, if you haven't taken time to realize what are the weak links in the armor, you are setting yourself up for failure. We need to be aware of those things in our life that we're susceptible to. And so this morning, there's those two questions there. Where do you pose the greatest threat? I want you today or sometime this week, begin to write those down. And here's the thing. Those can change weekly or daily depending on what you're doing for the kingdom, what focus you're focusing on. And the same with your character. What is going on in your life? We need to be bringing these things before God. Where am I the biggest threat to the enemy? And what are my weaknesses, tendencies, and passions that I need to be aware of? I mentioned earlier how Paul prayed for the church, and he prayed for us in Ephesians chapter 1:20, when he said that God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. We have a God who is strong on the throne. God and the devil are not rivals with each other. They're not equals. Sometimes we kind of think of God and the devil as being equals in power. God's the good, God's the bad. It's kind of like, you know, Luke Skywalker versus Darth Vader, the good side of the force, the bad side of the force, the yin and the yang. Friends, it's not like that. God is far above, supreme, the devil. Only God is omnipotent and can do all things. Only God is omniscient and knows all things. The devil doesn't know all things. Only God can do miracles. The devil is just a weak imitation. He tries to look big and powerful. If you face him alone, he's Randy. He'll beat you. But when you have Jesus on your side, you can win. Because what did Paul say in chapter 2? Chapter 1, he says, God seated Jesus in heavenly places far above them. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he's loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Look at verse 6. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus is seated above, far above them, and he has seated us with Jesus. We're heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. You're an overcomer. There is nothing the devil can throw at you that you can't defeat. You can overcome addiction. You can overcome your weaknesses. You can overcome these threats to your life, to your family, to your purpose, to your destiny. Because you're seated in heavenly places. I'm going to close with this. When my son Paul was little, about 2 years, 3 years old, we wrestled a lot. He couldn't pronounce the S. And so a lot of times he'd say, rettle, daddy, rettle. Rettle, daddy, rettle. So we would wrestle, okay? And you know how you wrestle against little kids. You know, we get down there and he comes and runs at me and he knocks me on my back. Or maybe I pounce on him and he throws me off and I go flying across the room. You know how it goes. As an adult, you never use your full strength against your kids. His little two-year-old toddler frame was no match for my 5'11", 190-pound frame. I'm not so much 190 today, okay? Little bit more than that. Friends, in Christ, we're the adult and Satan's the toddler. The only authority and power he does is because God is saying, I'm letting him do it right now. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Don't fight the devil in your own power because you're a baby compared to the toddler. But when you're in Christ Jesus and you're seated in heavenly places, you have all authority and power over the enemy. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. In your notes this morning, there's an acrostic by Richard Burr. It's awesome. Prayer stands for prayer releases all your eternal resources. When you pray, your prayers release all of your eternal resources. So pray. Pray in the morning. Take that attitude of prayer throughout the day. And when a circumstance hits you in the face, bring up the petition and pray. Pray about those things that you've circled. You've written the circle on there. Circle those things in prayer and be a circle maker. Pray about those areas that you pose the greatest threat to the enemy. Pray about those weaknesses that are in your life. Just pray. Let's do that this morning. Join me in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you are almighty and that you have saved us. Thank you, Jesus, for not just forgiving us of our sins, but for giving us hope, giving us your inheritance that we experience now and someday in heaven. And thank you for your incomparable power and authority you've given us. You've seated us in heavenly places. Help us to open our eyes and to see all that is at our fingertips. This morning, I want you to evaluate how you're doing in the area of spiritual warfare. Some of us here, we've been oblivious to the spiritual enemy that we have been fighting. We've been ignoring the fact that the devil is out to destroy us or detour us just to make us unproductive for the kingdom of God. The devil wants to keep us just relegated to a simple, quiet life. And maybe you'd say, I realize today I need to up my game. I need to enlist in the army of God. I need to put on the armor. I need to begin to be a threat to the devil and his kingdom. Some of you today maybe would say, I haven't been praying like the way I should. I've gotten busy. I've gotten distracted. Maybe as spring's come along, you're spending more time outside. You're staying up late as the sun's staying up later, so you're not getting up in the morning like you used to for prayer. And you'd say, I just need to up my prayer life. Some of us today, maybe we would say, all those problems that I wrote in my circle, man, I'm not taking those to God. I'm trying to do it on my own. I need to bring those to Jesus. Some of us, we keep getting beat up because we don't recognize the authority that we have. If you're here this morning and you want to begin to wage warfare like a mighty warrior, like an overcomer, I want you to stand on your feet today. If you'd say, I want a greater prayer life, I want greater anointing and victory, I want to build the kingdom of God around me, I'm sick and tired of my problems consuming me, I'm tired of the devil beating me down, beating me up, and feeling pinned. I want to walk in the authority of Christ. I want you to stand on your feet this morning. I want you to raise your hands in surrender to God, saying, God, here I am. And Lord, as our hands are raised, saying we're giving it up to you, God, we're also raising our hands in victory, because that's what the referee does in the wrestling ring. When the victor is done, he raises their hands. So our hands are up in surrender. Our hands are up in victory. We're trusting you today, Father God. Great are you, Lord. We love you today, Jesus. We thank you. We're going to see a victory in our lives. We worship you today. I want you to begin to praise him. I want you to just begin to pray out this morning and believe that God gives you victory.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.